Because that's when the mosquitoes hit.
Oh,
And the
no.
mosquitoes might have been the worst part of this entire hike.
No
But I
way.
love the New York section. I was familiar with it. And I still had a great time there. But the mosquitoes definitely were a buzzkill.
Oh wow. Did you
Unintended.
have a yeah. Did you have a head net? Did you have to wear it?
It wasn't even, I did have a head net, but that didn't really even do the trick. It was just, they were just hitting your body. They would go through your clothes. And
Wow.
you would cover yourself in DEET, which I hate to do because it's just so poisonous.
Yeah.
But you would cover yourself in DEET, and it would work for like half hour, an hour, till it like rained on you or you sweated it off. And then they would just come and bite you again. And you would get to a campsite and you really couldn't enjoy, when you want to camp, you expect to hang out with some friends and have your dinner and then go to bed, but you really couldn't do that because you were just being attacked. It's like
Oh,
you were trying
wow.
to eat. I was trying to eat in my hammock and it was really miserable. But I made it through it and that was the hardest part of the entire AT was the mosquito section, which
Wow.
lasted from New York to about somewhere early Massachusetts. Suddenly it just ended.
The bushwhacks were some of the worst days I've ever had in the mountains, or life, really.
Whereas Panther Mountain is totally opposite. It's a mountain on top of a crater.
I think the weather challenges on this incident were particularly difficult.
It was really the development of New York State. Catskills were responsible.
Now you're listening to Inside the Line, the Catskills.
Got it. Awesome. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Just going over some stuff. So, once again, you hit. When did you hit Katahdin? What day was that?
October 1st.
Okay, so how were the conditions up there?
When I was up there, it was 65 degrees and very low wind, and I was up there in shorts and a t-shirt.
I mean, that can't go to what I want to talk about then, because it's starting to get a little bit colder. It's starting to get a little bit more weathery and stuff like that. So
That's for sure.
I'm sure on the trail sometimes you being up in the whites and stuff like that, you've hit some sort of instances where that was the case. It was a little bit colder and stuff.
Absolutely. And it was nice to have a winter hat and some pair of gloves. People thought I was crazy for carrying them.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the time of year. So we're recording on October 20th right now, Friday, and this weekend's coming rain and cooler temperatures. And it's now is the time. I know most people listen to this or experience this. Now is the time to start thinking about bringing your winter gear, not full on winter stuff, like full on crampons and stuff, but at least maybe, throw those micro spikes in there, a shell rain jacket, maybe an extra shirt or two. You should always be having that. So, like, you got to admit, right?
Absolutely. I was on Mount Haystack this past Wednesday and it was snowing.
Up in the Adirondacks, freaking snowing up in the Adirondacks, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything on the ground, but it was sticking to our jackets and you could see snowflakes. And it was pretty exciting, actually. I was like, yeah, it's snowing finally.
Right. I mean, you kind of like you're just like, ah, crap. But then you're at the same time. This is like some pretty cool stuff. I'm experiencing the snow. I mean, it's October. You're gonna get that. But like,
Third highest peak in New York, too. So, yeah, up that high, anything's possible this time of year.
exactly. And people don't understand that. I mean, Catskills, we have trees and stuff like that to block it, but you have the rain, and the rain is a huge factor upon your comfortness, and everything else about like stuff, keeping stuff warm, keeping yourself warm. hypothermia is real. And it's that time you got to think, you know, extra layers, you know, maybe switch things out, socks here and there and stuff like that if you're on those long hikes.
First thing that goes is your fingers too. And you need that dexterity sometimes.
Right? Your fingers
are the stuff. You don't want to be trying to set up a camp with numb fingers. I've been there. That sucks.
Yeah.
Keeping your hand warm is really important. And it can happen really quick. That your hands get numb and, you know, your external extremities are the first ones to get really chilly. So it's always worth having some hand warmers, you know, those little tear off things that you can put in your gloves. So always have those in your backpack this time of year, because that little extra piece of heat can give you that dexterity where you need to open your backpack to help somebody or put some spikes on. Because you've probably been there with me where you're trying to put spikes on with like really cold hands and it seems like it takes forever.
Yep. Correct. Now, did you experience that on the AT or was that like somewhere else?
There was a couple times where I was nervous about how cold I got on the AT.
Of course, dude. But unbelievable.
I also got pretty lucky too. So as far as weather went, like on Katahdin, like I said, I was up there in t-shirt and shorts. So very lucky for that on the 1st of October, because there's been ice up there in past. So it all depends on the weather patterns.
Yeah.
But it's good to be prepared.
Yeah, definitely. So you basically finished like 95% naked, right?
I would say 98%.
Excellent. That's the way I want to hear it. How many people did you finish with?
You know, the day I finished, there was only maybe about four or five other hikers finishing that on that day. But on October 2nd, there was about 15 or 20 that finished.
Wow. So you could have gone full out naked if you wanted to.
Oh yeah, there was no one there nice. Who stopped me.
The Rangers weren't up there, who cares, right?
There was really cool Rangers at Baxter State Park too.
I've heard their sense of safetiness is and of wilderness is 100%. They want to keep it as wilderness, like as 100% wilderness as possible and be safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the first ranger I met going into Baxter State Park, his name is Donald Duck. And he is the official AT ranger that greets all the AT hikers coming into Baxter.
Wow.
And what a great guy he is. I cannot say enough great things about him.
Nice.
He's wholesome. Everything you would expect. Big, big mountain man.
How old do you think he is?
I would say he was probably in his early 60s.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So he's got experience.
Yeah. He's been living up there for years and he's been doing that job for years. And so, you know, many thru hikers before me have experienced Donald Duck, and what a wholesome, great person to see and welcome you going into Baxter State Park.
Right. What a fantastic experience, man. I can't wait to hear about it. Let's not spoil it for everyone else. So once again, think about your winter gear, extra layers, you know, shell jackets, stuff like that. Shell jackets might be expensive, but they're very important. They can block off that rain, that sleet, that snow, that little nits that are coming down that's keeping you warm. And, you know, hand warmers, like Dylan said, anything, micro spikes, throw them in there, extra pound and a half, just, you know, lightweight, doesn't matter, your safetiness and your safety is more important than anything else. So once again, winter is happening up on Mount Washington. It's I wouldn't say it's full on winter, but they got like an inch or two of snow already. Crazy stuff to see. Probably Marcy, you're going to be start seeing that as well. He said, once again, Dylan said Haystack had a little bit of snow and sleet and rain. Everything is starting. It is freaking starting. So start packing that shit right now. So
you'll be happy you have it.
Exactly. Who cares about the extra two pounds?
Weight's just going to make your back a little bit stronger.
Exactly. Coming through a guy that just finished the AT, take his advice. All right. Take his freaking advice. So Dylan, have you been following the absolute insane drama of the Wyndham Mountain Club. Have you heard about that?
No, this is new to me.
Okay, so Wyndham Ski Resort just changed, a couple weeks ago, changed their name to the Wyndham Mountain Club. And now somewhat they are becoming a private resort with limited passes per day for the locals and for the people that want to visit, on just the fly or something like that. So this has become huge drama, of course, with the locals and with I follow some stuff on Reddit on different programs because, if you want to buy a pass there, it's a lot of money, a lot of money, especially.
So we're talking about the ski resort.
Correct. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And following comments, following people and stuff like that, the locals are certainly taking this very seriously and just wow, this is a big kick to the face, big slap to the face for us. We love this place. We are the locals. We are here for the Wyndham Mountain Club. We are here for Wyndham Ski Resort. We are here for the mountains and stuff like that. So one of the things they just announced is that the mountain bike trails that they have, one of the I've heard the best in the East Coast, somewhat have been closed to the public.
I've been taken out by those mountain bikes on that mountain.
Yeah, and they've now been closed. They've been shut down. And
oh, really?
Yep. So once again, following on Reddit and Instagram, this Wyndham Mountain Club is getting smashed with comments from local mountain bikers from down in New York City, stuff like that, because, a lot of people kind of start off in the Catskills and then progress to different stuff over in, up more east towards the White Mountains, and then they go out, they want to pursue some craziness, they'll go out west. And it's just getting hammered, and it is a big, huge topic. Especially, when you have to buy a huge dollar membership, only the rich can buy the membership, basically. And one of the big factors is that, how long will this last? How long will a private membership last on the East Coast, let alone? Because going out west, of course, you have I know we have New York City here, of course, but we have out west, you have, LA, Phoenix, stuff like that, all these places, but they also have amazing snow out there. We are losing our natural snow. We are more and more, they have to make their snow from snow machines. So yeah, a lot of people who ski, who know the ski areas, are going to know that snow machines make shitty snow, and that over a couple days, it's going to melt. It's going to become ice.
Also, they need water to supply those snow machines.
Exactly. Exactly.
That usually comes from some sort of pond at the base of the slopes.
Correct. And, what if there's a shortage of that? And, these people who have paid the ultimate price don't want to ski there. Or the locals, are just we're not going to ski on these days because they're horrible, ski conditions. And we all know from climate change or whatever it's called, whatever you want to say, that our snow has been decreasing each year. I've felt like last year was absolute crazy conditions.
Oh, yeah.
So
especially if you like snowshoeing, I mean, it's been unfortunate. It's give me just enough,
Exactly. And you get that one chance.
Instead, it's been shoulder season conditions all year.
Yep.
You just get maybe a few inches of snow and some ice. So it's hard to choose even what to use.
Exactly. And, you get that one little chance to snowshoe, and the next day, all of a sudden, it's 60 degrees and it melts. So now you're snowshoeing on hard rock crap, and it's not really a snowshoe. It's just, micro spikes or something, or you're post-holing, and you feel kind of bad. But
I don't know about you, but I want to break some trail this winter, especially on the bushwhacks. Let's go up to, Friday in Balsam Cap after a fresh snowfall. But I have a sedan, so the problem then becomes what trailheads are going to be plowed and I'm going to be able to drive to.
Correct.
Maybe I could drive to Oneonta and then we could drive up together in your truck.
Dude, I have a battery electric vehicle, so mine won't make shit. I have snow tires though. Is that good enough?
That's probably better than what I have. Yeah.
But we can also carpool, and can ask a local with a truck that can bring us there.
I have zip ties too. We could put those around my tires and make like some makeshift snow tires.
Hell yeah, some kind of like makeshift like pins and stuff like that. Well thought. So, but I only will break trail with another person though. I've learned in my time that breaking trail by yourself is absolutely insane.
Oh, it's a good workout. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, you love it. You love it. I don't. Like the freaking six pack abs say you love it.
Well, it's more ass than thighs.
Correct. But you know, like we have been seeing a decrease in snow, and you're once again breaking trail is going to be an opportunity.
It's tough work.
Yeah, and you want to, as soon as it happens, you want to get out there and get as fast as possible, but get out there and do it. But
yeah, but don't underestimate how hard it is. Also,
shit. You know, my first time ever breaking trail was going up to Camel's Hump at Thomas Cole. I thought I could do it, and I went up to Camel's Hump. And I was dead. I was just dead. And I mean, next is Thomas Cole, and it's not that tough from there, but I was just like, I'm dead. I can't do this by myself. And I went back down.
You have a bit of a responsibility too when you're breaking trail to find the best route, you know, path of least resistance, try and stay on the normal trail. So you have there's a little bit of an edge there too. Yeah. It's like, you know, you don't want to disappoint the people that come after you. It's like, why the hell did he go up this way?
Correct. So like there's pressure. There's definitely pressure. Good point. But you know, once again, just talking about the Wyndham Mountain Club and their, you know, craziness that's going on. It's a big discussion. So check out stuff. I'll post the Reddit link on here about the closure of the biking trails and stuff like that.
Well, you know what that reminds me of is I saw signs about the infrastructure coming to Woodstock with their resort or whatever that is.
Yeah.
I know you talked about it before, but I saw signs up there on my way to Bushwhack Olderbark a week ago.
And that was crazy, wasn't it?
So I haven't heard anything from that since, but I assume that's probably still going on as well, which is a similar but different problem.
Similar. Definitely similar. They want a complex structure down below Woodstock. I don't know why they call it Woodstock. It is in the town of Woodstock, but they want to, I wouldn't say demolish, but it's basically, in my terms, as a kind of local upstate kind of person, they want to demolish all this and make it a resort with, I forgot how many, like 20 affordable housing homes, and then the rest, yeah, you know, 80 with wealthy people. So it's kind of like it's not a good thing, and it's very opposed. And I suggest, you know, everybody look it up. Once again, I will post that. Thank you for bringing that up. And to see the progress in that.
Because that's going on right now.
Yep. Having town meetings all the time about that. And it's some crazy stuff, I guess. So you were right. We talked about that with the beer hiking group with Phil and what's his name? And that was a crazy conversation.
Like I said, I listen to your podcast all the time on the trail. I looked forward to Mondays. It's like, yeah, I got a new episode to listen to.
Well, thank you.
It was just nice to hear about local news and what was going on. It was always an interesting conversation too that I didn't have to interact with. I could just sit back and enjoy.
Oh, you love to interact. Come on, man. Look at you. You're smiling right now, man. Love to interact. Yeah. Other than that, also one big thing. Volunteering is absolutely huge. I would like to say, and the one thing I could say is, I know this sounds a little, I don't know if it's called ignorant, but if you can't find a way to help the mountains, then you shouldn't be hiking, because you know, after a while, that how important the mountains are to you, then you should give back basically to what you're doing in the mountains. So volunteer. I don't care if it's like 1-2 hours a year. it's still giving back to the mountains. So we got a lot of work to do. We're getting up to this this big discussion with the informal trails, you know, that the Bushwhacks and stuff like that, the New York, New Jersey Trail Conference and the DEC has asked you to do surveys about it. And it really is a big deal. A long time ago, I think it was like episode 52, me and Matt Smith did an episode about this. And I got to admit, that took up most of the time than talking about his Catskill Trail crew, which was crazy. But I want to maybe progress more into that, because we all know that these informal trails, these herd paths, are getting more and more dominant, and that, you know, going up to Lone and Rocky and stuff is becoming more and more kind of like confusing, because there are so many herd paths. There are so many ways to go up the mountain, and they're not the right ways to go up the mountain. So what is the DAC and the New York, New Jersey Trail Conference going to do about it? And hopefully we will all work together and we'll get this problem solved, because I don't see another way. I think the damage has been done. And now the only turn is to start building trails on there. I hate to say it, but, you know, we're going to have to do it to save the mountains.
You keep people in one spot. That's what's correct. Key.
And if you want to bushwhack, you can. There's several other trailheads you can bushwhack from. Go right ahead and do it. But if you don't want to, cool. We're going to build a trail up to both of those peaks. You can get your 3,500 patch. You can do that. Or you can be like Dylan and take on a freaking crazy mountain like Oldenburg.
Yeah, and well, I felt a little guilty, I will say, doing a true bushwhack like that, because
not all.
When you have no path to follow, you just have to like crush stuff, and you try and find the path of least resistance, but sometimes that means crossing over moss and stuff that you don't really want to smush. But then you have to remember, animals do that too, and I'm basically an animal, so. That's my justification. And I did that, Mike, with one of your sponsors, Vicky.
Oh, really? Oh, you did it with Vicky?
And I met up with her on the trail because she is she maintains one of the shelters on the trail.
Awesome. Congratulations. Thank you so much, Vicky. You are way cooler than I thought. So
she's really cool.
She kicks ass. She is.
She met us at the shelter and we hung out with her. And before that, I just ran into her on the trail.
Nice.
And she was like, "Oh, would you like to pass me?" And she was like, "Holy crap, it's you."
It's Dylan. It's freaking Dylan Leonard. Holy shit.
So I actually met up with her twice on the trail, and she's very awesome. And she asked me, it was about a week and a half ago, if I wanted to do one of the Catskill Highest 100 with her, and we both haven't done Oldenburg, so we're like, yeah, let's do that.
Fantastic.
We had a great time.
Yeah, she'll be on the next week, actually, so I have her on next week.
She was telling me.
Sweet. That's so cool. So
maybe we'll wait and let her tell you about the bushwhack.
Good. Well, yes, that's a great back and forth. We'll do a back and forth, because I guarantee both of you had different views on the hike, because that's a crazy hike. It's one of the best, actually.
It's a true bushwhack. There were, besides a couple logging roads, like remnants of logging roads, there's no herd pass going up there.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the under 100 highest, so it's definitely something that is challenging. If you want to take on the 100 highest, definitely do your research, because that is a difficult task to do any one of those. So rock on. All right. So cool small talk. Thank you, Dylan. We're going to go quickly into the monthly supporters: Darren White, Vicky Ferreira, John Comiskey, Jim C., Michael Bongner, David Mead, Matt Smith, and Denise Weiss. Thank you guys for supporting the show. Also, sponsors of the show. I thank you guys greatly for sponsoring the show. Can't believe you believe in me. So, have you ever wanted to learn more about hiking or backpacking, or even brush up with some of your old skills in the backcountry? Check out Trail Bomb Project, a hiking and backpacking school. Scott and Joe from the New Jersey Search and Rescue Team have amazing backgrounds in wilderness first aid, wilderness first responder, and Mountain Rescue Association. And they're there to help you learn old and new skills of hiking and backpacking. They teach anything from first aid, map and compass, and many other skills that could help you and others while out on the trail. Check them out on their website, and social media platforms. Also, check out Another Summit, a nonprofit program that leads free outdoor activities for veteran and first responders. Activities like walking to hiking to even backpacking and paddling trips. Check out anothersummit.org for more information and dates and future events. Have them in the show notes. Also, if you're ready to hit the trails, make sure you take the scenic route. Our guides will help you with your goals, big or small, like Marcy or Slide or Friday or the Sewards. Check out the Scenic Route Guiding and Gear Rentals on Instagram and Facebook for more information. Also, if you mention the podcast, you can get 10% off. Use the code word Mountain Lion. So, Dylan, what are you having to drink tonight? I saw you had something to drink.
Yeah, so I have a local beer from the North Brewery. It's called Harvest, and it is a pumpkin ale brewed with 92 pumpkin pies.
No crap. Where like, local to you up in like Binghamton, right?
Yep. Specifically Endicott, New York.
Nice. Nice. You're very close to me, man. You're very close.
Oh yeah, I drive by you all the time.
Okay. Well, you gotta go to a Black Bears game with me sometime then.
Absolutely.
Could you like hockey?
Did you go this past Saturday?
Fortunately, I did not. I didn't go to the opener. Right. I should have.
Let me know when you go next time, and I would be happy to join you.
Tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow's Saturday, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm still lost track of time.
I could only imagine. I could only imagine on the AT you do have not any perception of what day it is. You're just like,
yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday or a Wednesday or Tuesday. It's all the same. You're doing the same thing.
God, that's so cool. So cool. So once again, I am having a good old, it's called a Hickory Brown. It's from the Ithaca area. And it is fantastic cider. I'm a cider guy. I'm not a beer IPA guy, but it's called Hickory Brown. It's a hard cider from Ithaca. And I am.
Where in Ithaca?
Is it from
the cidery?
Yes.
South Hill Cidery?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great place. The Finger Lakes Trail goes right around their property.
Is that what you're doing next?
Maybe.
I know that Finger Lakes, you know, the Finger Lakes Trail, they take care of the people a lot. Like it goes right, skirts right around some private properties and some public properties, but they take care of the people pretty good amount. And it's pretty cool, I got to admit.
Yeah, I would love to do the Finger Lakes Trail. And the long path. Those are both on my list. Both prominent New York long trails.
Well, you'll do those, and I'll help you out doing that. So once again, your previous hike, Oldenburg, you want to talk about that real quick? Just a bunch of little short details?
It's short. It's only, you know, for me, it was only 5 miles to get up and back from the Mink Hollow trailhead. And it's a true bushwhack. There's no herd path. There's nothing up there, and there's no views, but it's just beautiful forests, and it feels untouched.
Right.
That's what I really enjoyed about it. But expect to be climbing over loose boulders and rocks and roots and fallen trees, and just find the best way up. That was our goal, and we did, and we had a great time up there.
Push through some thick stuff, right? Like thicker than Lone and Rocky. I remember doing the Oldenburg, and that's some thick stuff.
There was a couple times where we, you know, let's turn back a little bit and then find a different way around this.
See,
I'm sure you've been there plenty of times. It's like, yeah.
There once. Only once, man. Only once. But I gotta say, that's the thickest. You know, Rocky is pretty tough, and then going over the Dink is tough, but Oldenburg has a whole new meaning of tough pushing through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the 100 highest. So you're on your way to 100 highest. So that's pretty cool. So is Vicky. So that's pretty wicked.
He's a badass.
Well, I can't wait till you guys get to the 100 highest with the freaking prickers. Good luck.
Oh, I know.
Do it in the winter. All you got to do it in the winter. No way you can do it in the summer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, been there, done that. Absolutely not again. Stupid mistake.
If we get some snow, that's what's key.
Correct. Correct. So once again, yeah. So recently I went up the Tremperskill and the Shavertown trail over down in the Captain Rebus Reservoir. Beautiful stuff right outside of Andes. Awesome little short trail for anybody.
I love that area.
Right? It's just so untouched.
It's rough traveled. It's really beautiful out there.
Secluded as heck. Beautiful views of the reservoir. Very easy hike, probably like 3.8 miles, 900 feet of gain. Beautiful stuff. Western Catskills are so untouched, and people need to move out there and check out the Western Catskills. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
I still need to do the Beaverkill Range.
Ooh, nice. Have you done that? I've done a little tiny bit of those. I've done the Willowemeck and the partial. Yeah. I haven't fully done it. I'm looking forward to it.
I'd like to bushwhack the Beaverkill Range. Maybe that's something we can do together. That would be a lot of fun.
I'm writing that down, Dylan. You got me
thinking. Hey, we should tell do me when. I'll be there.
Are you available on Tuesdays?
Yeah. Tuesdays are great.
Nice, because I freaking need a hiking bike. I lost my hike. So I don't know if he still listens to this, but my friend Travis, that I used to hike with exclusively, got moved up to salary management. So he's now a salary junkie, and he can't hike with me anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever. So cool. Awesome. We'll do some crazy hikes, man.
Well, if any of my friends listen to this, fuck you. I'm just kidding. Am I allowed yes. to say that? Probably not.
You definitely allowed to say that.
I love all my friends.
100% you're allowed to say this. I don't care. Like, this is, I rated this as explicit.
That in the best way.
You do. And this is explicit on Spotify and everything. So people know what they're getting into. And like I've said before, I'm like, the sponsors know what they're getting into when they sponsor me. They've heard my previous stuff. So hopefully everybody does. So awesome. Cool. Recent hikes. Let's talk about also volunteering 3500 Club. They closed out their season. The Trailhead Stewards, check them out for next year. They're going to be coming up with a soon to be schedule. Catskills Trail Crew, they're closing out the year once again. This won't be aired. Their last day is Sunday. So that was yesterday. Catskill Mountain Club Visitor Center stickers, stuff like that. What was that, Dylan?
My friend Orion is going to volunteer with the Catskill Trail Crew tomorrow.
Nice.
To do the last section of the Huckleberry route. So yeah. I guess they have one more spot to clear out there.
Yeah. Fantastic spot. Huckleberry Loop is one of the spots that is an absolute gem of the Catskills that will make you feel like you are one with wilderness and stuff like that. So get out there and get to that. Awesome. What's your friend's name again?
His name's Orion.
Oh, freaking awesome name.
He's a big hiker in the Catskills as well. We've done some of the sketchiest hikes wintertime Catskill hiking. Hurricane Ledge, when that is all iced over. Oof.
Dude, that's pretty psycho right there, buddy.
Yeah, it was a bit psycho. We knew it going in.
Like, yeah, maybe. I guess so. So maybe he'll come on one of our hikes with us. We got to do a crazy bushwhack hike. Cool. Tell him I said thank you for volunteering. That's awesome.
Yeah, I helped him last year with his. He did a single season winter, which includes bushwhacking to South Doubletop, which that's a fun adventure too. From Big Indian.
Yeah, that is definitely some challenging shit.
And of course, you're following the property line.
Yep, and it's thank you for once again following the property line. This guy, he's following the rules.
You know where the markers are. You know, you don't want to cross over. Respect them.
Correct. So that's pretty wicked. So tell Orion thank you once again. But volunteer as you can. Also, if you need some stickers, email me or go to Camp Catskill. Awesome place to purchase your hiking gear. So Dylan, real quickly, why don't we go into some Catskill Mountain history?
I would love that.
Okay.
I'm a history buff. Let's go.
I know. So I have been digging deep into this book about the Catskill Mountain House. I hopefully we've all been there to the Catskill Mountain House area over on the North South Lake. You've been there, correct?
Oh, yeah. I was there about a week ago.
Oh, sweet. So basically, if you haven't been there, please go there. Awesome spot. They just, I know it sounds bad, but they cleared out all the trees. Beautiful view overlooking the Hudson Valley. This once stood as the biggest, best hotel in the world. So this is from that book that was written probably. I'm once again, I can't find a real date of this, but I have a 1914 edition. So I got it.
Awesome.
I think I lucked out on this definitely. So I got it from a friend that was just like, I need to get rid of these books. So we'll talk about quickly about the Catskill Mountain House. So during the winter of 1960 to 61, the ruins of the Mountain House were sold by the heirs of Claude Moosman and the same New York City real estate firm that had previously purchased the South Lake area and its surrounding acreage. This gave Carpathian Vacation Camp Incorporated all the remaining buildings and land, about 260 acres, of the Catskill Mountain House property, and it caused considerable consternation among personnel of the Conservation Department of the state of New York. The Conservation Department, DEC, basically what it is right now, having tried unsuccessfully to get control of this property from the Claude Moosman in order to consolidate its holdings on North and South Lake Mountain. Now, DEC at that time purchases different parts of the North South Lake Mountain, and they did not purchase that part of the area with the Catskill Mountain House. So they lost a development sort of summer cabin colony in the very heart of the state's Great Forest Preserve in direct competition with one of its most valuable public campsites. Fortunately for the state of New York, as its well general public, whose welfare was mostly directed concerned, Carpathian was never able to fulfill Benedict's plans regarding the Catskill Mountain House property. And within another year, in spring of 1962, the company gladly turned the reliefs over to New York State, and the Conservation Department acquired full and final ownership. Now, this went into huge decay, of course, as we know, as I'm not dissing the DEC. But once again, with certain areas, they can't upkeep with the area, like the Overlook Mountain House. Down in the Beaver Cove Range, there is a certain mansion. I forgot what it's called. The Van Dyke Mansion or something like that, that they had looking really good, and they just let it go to the base. So they let it fall down. So the announcement of the sale was made in the New York Times on Monday, April 9th, 1962, the 20th anniversary of the last season of the Mountain House. Taking its cue from a terse news bulletin issued by the Conservation Department, the Times gave little indication that the momentous nature of the purchase and merely offered an ambiguous information that the Motel House and the Mountain House is now in ruins and was a historic resort hotel, and the one summer White House of President Ulysses S. Grant visited. The purchase was made under New York's Park and Recreation Land Acquisitions Bond Act and cost the people of the state only $61,000, and it gave the state a total of 2,458 acres. And almost whole of the Catskill Mountain Park that has been established by Charles L. Beach during the heyday of the Catskills. Since then, the state had already acquired most of the property of former Hotel Catterskill, which stood up on North or on South Mountain. And the final purchase of the property of the Mountain House also gave the state complete control over the whole historic resort area of Pine Orchards. So that included the Hotel Catterskill, the Catskill Mountain House, and the mountain, the Laurel House, which was right by Catterskill Falls. The whole view of the Pioneer Resort area of the Catskill Mountain had now passed from private to public ownership and become common possession of the new socialized American citizens industry of the 20th century. Though the event marked the end of the great cultural epoch, it was an inevitable development that also contained seeds of future regeneration. As Man and Wisdom says, if we want things to stay as they are, things will have to change. And that change occurred at Pine Orchard in 1962. And though it promised a new lease on life for the oldest region of the Catskills, it also entailed one of the particular sacrifice, the ultimate and necessary, which would forever question the total destruction of the Catskill Mountain House. So once again, 1961 to 62, DEC purchased the Catskill Mountain House. And as we know, it no longer stands. and they left it in decay. And then I'm not sure when they burned it, but I'm guessing it was the late 1970s that they burned the Catskill Mountain House. And that is the viewpoint that we all see today.
What a sacrifice.
Right? It's...
I wonder if they danced around that fire. I would have.
Kumbaya, my lord, right? I mean, what?
Just how ceremonial.
Just to think that once in a lifetime, I mean, you could still do it today. You could, but to have a spot on that and to walk out to a balcony overlooking the Hudson Valley in the early 19. Yeah.
You're telling me. When I was up there, I was looking at their little signage. They have some good signage up there and like old photos of what it used to look like. And I was just imagining what that structure looked like overlooking that valley. So beautiful.
Yeah. Only the rich could afford it. And the pioneers, the biggest people came up there because it was the biggest resort in the Catskills. It was the most biggest resort in the world at that time.
I was also imagining what it looked like when they were seeing it versus now. And it's cool because you see now solar farms and, you know, new developments that totally alter the landscape, bridges over the Hudson.
And just they used to travel by boat over that and stuff like that. And just imagine how they traveled up by horse and carriage up through the Catskill Clove. That's
amazing. Like,
took days to get from Catskill to the Hotel Telltale Scatterskill and the Catskill Mountain House. Just
what an adventure. I wouldn't mind being alive back then. That sounds exciting.
Right.
Much easier than driving my sedan to the trailhead and then hiking up.
Or trying to find a parking spot at the trailhead. That's the thing.
Right.
Right. Right. Definitely. So once again, little history from the Catskill Mountain House book by, I think it's Ronald Van Zandt.
That's a good book. I like hearing that stuff. Thank you for sharing that.
Hey, anytime, Dylan, anytime. Thank you for listening, for putting up with it. All right. So let's, go on to our last sponsor. So is it time for new gear and hiking the Catskills? Say no more. Camp Catskill in Tannersboro has all your hiking needs. Footwear, socks, moisture-wicking shirts, freeze-dried meals, Catskill merchandise, and micro spikes for the new season. They have all the essentials for your hiking needs. Located in Tannersville and online, check out Camp Catskill. If you want free stickers, stop there during the day. Doesn't matter what time. Hopefully they'll be open. So also, check out Outdoor Chronicles Photography. Molly from Outdoor Chronicles Photography specializes in adventure elopement and adventure couple photography in the Catskills, Adirondacks, and White Mountains. She is also an officiant for getting married and a licensed guide, but she is also a story maker. Molly won't just give you photos, she'll give you memories that will last forever. Don't hesitate to get a hold of Molly on all platforms. Dylan, have you been to Camp Catskill yet?
I'm not. I've been wanting to go, but I've yet to get to Camp Catskill. I'd love to.
We'll go there. We'll definitely go there. So, and we'll have Molly come on the trails with us and take epic six-pack pictures of my dad belly and your six-pack.
I need some merch. Let's go.
Hell yeah. They got some good merch, I gotta admit. So, let's get on to the guest of the night.
Let's go.
Dylan is here to talk about his AT finish, his Appalachian Trail finish, his 2,160-mile finish on the Appalachian Trail. Now, Dylan was previously on an episode with me about his first half. He joined me live from Pennsylvania, was it? Was it Pennsylvania, yeah. Right?
Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Nazareth, the lower part of Pennsylvania, correct?
I mean, I was actually pretty far through Pennsylvania at that point, but I was past the halfway point. About 100
okay.
miles.
Okay. So he joined us live from there, and I was very thankful of that, and he told us
that was
great,
a fun day. I was excited to meet up with you.
Dude, it was so cool, and hearing the first half of, I wouldn't say the easiest parts, but knowing that and then getting to the second, like, oh my God, Dylan's going to be starting hitting the rough shit soon. I can't wait to hear about it. So, Dylan, congratulations on finishing the Appalachian Trail. Do you know what number you are?
No, I don't know what number I am.
Could you guess?
Could I guess? It was like 1,300 something.
Of this year?
But starting time, it was 2,172.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. And so Dylan's going to be here to talk about his second half of the AT Trail and some of his experiences along the Appalachian Trail. So, Dylan, thank you once again for joining me. It's so good to have you here.
It's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Anytime, man. If you'll, I will ask you to come on anytime. Trust me. Just bear with me. All right. Bear with my crap. So, Dylan, why don't you give a little background about yourself, sir?
Okay. So I'm a visual artist from Binghamton, New York. The past 10 years, I spent hiking and exploring the Northeast, more specifically the Catskills and the Adirondacks. And I told myself for maybe 3 or 4 years leading up to my 30th birthday that when I turned 30, I would thru-hike the Appalachian Trail. And that's what I did. And I finished. And I can't believe I finished. It was quite a shock.
Oh, come on. No way. No way. You would... Day you told us you started, I was just like, this guy's gonna nail it. He's gonna crush it. I knew you would. So you were on episode 84 and we talked about your first half. Now about the first half, how was we'll kind of give a little recap about the first half of your Appalachian Trail. How was that? How did you like the first half of the AT?
Yeah, so the first half was getting familiar with what I was doing. Last I talked to you, it was at mile 1,266.
Nice.
So just over the halfway mark. And I had dealt with a lot of heat waves, tropical storms going through the Shenandoahs, and experienced a lot of different things and becoming familiar with camping and living day to day in the wilderness.
So, like, what was your camping type? Were you a hammock guy, tent guy, shelter guy?
I went with hammock most of the time. I only slept in a shelter twice. And hammock was the way to go because I would see people struggling to find flat campsites, but I had a level hang. As long as there was trees around, and there's plenty of trees on this trail, I slept great. I actually slept better than in my bed at home.
Wow.
And I still, time to time, will hang up my hammock in the backyard and sleep because it's, I just slept so good. You know, the ventilation, no pressure on your back. There's a misconception that you might sleep like a banana, but that's not true with modern hammocks. I slept flat.
Wow. And awesome.
I could sleep on my side. I used a very simple system with a little inflatable air pad, and I had a 20 degree sleeping bag that I used the entire trip.
Nice. 20 degrees. Wow, that's awesome.
And if I got too hot in the middle of the summer, I would just sleep on top of it.
And that gives you insulation, kind of like a little tiny bit of heat just in case you got cold, to heat up your body, just in case.
Exactly. I slept great. And I had a rain fly that would go over that. And
wow.
It was a very simple setup. It took me just a couple minutes to set up the whole thing. And I did that.
So cool.
I went probably 160 nights.
Wow. How many nights were you out on the trail?
180 total. I would say about 20 of those were maybe in a bed of some sort at a hostel or a hotel or a friend or family member's house.
And what was your experience of like sleeping in a shelter? That's got to be fun.
I only slept in a shelter twice, and that was in the Smoky Mountains. I think we talked about this on the last podcast, but I didn't want to sleep in shelters because people snore. There's mice.
Yeah.
Although I did meet a trail cat, which was pretty cool, and that was a fan favorite for catching mice at shelters.
Nice. They should have those all over. That's awesome. That's a great idea.
They really should.
That's
they should designate shelter cats.
Right? That's a fantastic idea. Yeah, I couldn't imagine. You know, we went to, you probably passed by this up in Vermont, the shelter that has the platform up the top. I forgot what the name of the trail is. It's right outside of Woodstock. Good Lord. But
in Vermont or New Hampshire?
Vermont. It's right on the edge of Vermont and New Hampshire. It has a Mary's something.
Oh, are you talking about the lookout cabin?
Yes.
That was one of my favorite places to camp on the entire trail.
Fantastic spot, right?
How cool is that place? And you could see for so far, and it was just, that was one of the most amazing, and I did sleep in there, but I hung my hammock in the cabin.
Nice. I heard about horror stories with mice up there. It was just absolutely horrible. And just thinking of that, like the amount of mice you have to deal with in those shelters and stuff. So I'm glad you kind of went the route of hammock instead of taking on those mice.
You could hang your backpack off your hammock. So, you know, they weren't chewing your equipment and stuff like that. Like I had everything hanging off of trees.
Awesome.
I feel like for anybody going to do the AT, I totally recommend hammocking over a tent. If you can make it work and you find the right system, that's my recommendation. I didn't have to deal with animals, mice, all that kind of stuff. But if I needed to sleep in a shelter, I could. You know, I still had a sleeping pad and everything I needed for that.
Cool. Yeah, that was called Lucy's Lookout. That's where we were at.
Yep. Beautiful spot.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So do you have any stats for the whole trip that you did from the Appalachian Trail?
I sure do. I actually wrote them down. I knew you were going to ask that.
It's great numbers, man.
So 2,198 miles total and through 14 states on the East Coast.
Wow.
And elevation, give or take, probably give. Over 520,000 feet.
Jesus.
And it took me about just under 6 months, 180 days.
Wow. 520,000 feet. Let's divide that by 27,000. You climbed Everest 19 times. No shit. Unbelievable. And that's not from Everest from the base camp. That's from bottom of the goddamn sea level to top. So just think about that. Unbelievable, man. Fantastic. So how did it feel to be on top of Katahdin and finish? What were those feelings that you had up there? I couldn't imagine.
It was a bit surreal because you spend 6 months walking to Katahdin and suddenly you touch that sign and it's all over. It's a bit of a shock to your system too, because then you're just done. It's like, what?
Yeah, right.
This can't be the end.
Right. Was it like, now what? Like, now what? What do I do now? Or were you kind of out of plan?
Definitely tears were shed and we took our photos on the sign. Of course, the famous sign. And it's a funny story. They have the old sign at the museum in Pennsylvania, the Appalachian Trail Museum in Pennsylvania. They have the old Katahdin sign. And I remember the museum curator telling us not to touch the sign because it'd be bad luck.
Oh, interesting.
You gotta wait and touch the real sign that's up there now. It's like, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I did not touch the museum sign, and that's why I got there.
That's almost like the Stanley Cup phenomenon that they have, where, you know, you don't trust before when you win the championship, the conference championship, you don't trust the championship because it gives you bad luck. Very, very similar thing. Wow. Interesting. I didn't know about that.
Superstitious, but I was not going to touch that sign. I was like, yeah, I will wait till the end and then I will touch the sign that's up there.
Right. You're just like, funny. Hell no.
The last like 2 or 3 miles, I mean, you can see the sign. You can see the top of the mountain from a very far distance away.
Wow.
And that's a very emotional time because you spent all this time getting up to this point and you see that little sign, but it seems like it's taken forever to get there because just optically it's, there's an illusion because it's so far, it's like a mile and a half away and you just spend so much time walking towards it. And you don't want to walk very fast either because you want to savor that moment. And that was pretty neat.
2,197 miles into it, and you're looking up at it and like, wow, I am so close.
I'm so close. That was a very bizarre time. Like that, I would say it was about a half hour of my life. I was like, whoa, this is weird. Like, it's right there. I could see people standing on it from a distance.
Wow. Unbelievable. That's so cool. So cool. So we talked about your first half of going through, you know, Georgia, Virginia, Tennessee, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. What about the second half when you go through like the harder areas, the more elevation gain areas? How was your experience going through there?
Well, it was interesting. So I was closer to home and the forest seemed more familiar to me. Just that the rock, the moss, the ferns, I felt more at home. I felt more on the, you know, northeast coast, but it got more challenging in like the whites.
Yeah. Like, what did you think of the whites?
The whites were one of my favorite parts, but we slowed down for sure.
Yeah.
I shouldn't skip over Vermont. They say Vermont's really muddy, but Vermont was extremely muddy, especially when we went through.
You think it's worse than the Adirondacks?
Yes.
Wow. That's got to be crazy.
I would.
Wow. I couldn't even imagine that. That's got to be some slothing up through there. Like, oh, man.
You know what was weird? It was you crossed the Massachusetts border, and I really love Massachusetts. That was one of my favorite states to hike through. But you cross the Massachusetts border into Vermont, and as soon as you cross into Vermont, it got extremely muddy and unmaintained. The trails were just, I feel like it was a cop-out. They just don't want to maintain the trails there.
Wow. Interesting. I mean, I wonder if there was just like bad trail planning on their part and just to get up to the high peaks and not and get down. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, I've heard of their mud season. You know, they kind of close down. They don't want anybody to go up there during mud seasons, correct?
I believe every month of the year is mud season for Vermont. Nice. And the Adirondacks. That's actually why I really love hiking in the Catskills. It's like, holy shit, I'm not going through mud bogs.
Yeah, right?
Continuous mud bogs.
I kind of think the same way, you know, going up to Marcy, I was just like, God damn, this is easy, but challenging as heck to try to keep your feet dry. Like, I like the Catskills. So, what about the, like, so you went through New York. How was New York at the time? Because you go over crossing the lower part of New York and then you go over the Hudson, correct? How was your New York?
New York is very cool. And I did the New York section as like a shakedown hike. So, a year ago in 2022, I did the New York section of the AT with my friend Mo and his husband Jeff. And we had a great time, but it was in May. And so totally different experience when I went through there, because that's when the mosquitoes hit.
Oh, no.
And the mosquitoes might have been the worst part of this entire hike.
No way.
But I love the New York section. I was familiar with it. And I still had a great time there, but the mosquitoes definitely were a buzzkill.
Oh, wow. Did you have a head net? Did you have to wear it?
It wasn't even, I did have a head net, but that didn't really even do the trick. It was just, they were just hitting your body. They would go through your clothes.
Wow.
And you would cover yourself in DEET, which I hate to do because it's just so poisonous.
Yeah.
But you would cover yourself in DEET and it would work for like half hour, an hour, till it like rained on you or you sweated it off. And then they would just come and bite you again. And you would get to a campsite and you really couldn't enjoy, you know, when you want to camp, you expect to hang out with some friends and have your dinner and then go to bed. But you really couldn't do that because you were just being attacked. It's like, oh, wow. You're trying to eat. I was trying to eat in my hammock and it was really miserable.
That's
I made it through it. And that was the hardest part of the entire AT, was the mosquito section, which lasted from New York to about somewhere early Massachusetts. Suddenly it just ended really quick. And it was like, wait, there's no mosquitoes? Like, I can come out of my hammock and just have my morning cup of tea and not be bombarded. And then it got great again. I was like, yep, I got this now.
Wow. Welcome to New York. That's basically what that's what it said.
I know several hikers, they got off trail because the mosquitoes and the bugs were so bad. And I understand where they were coming from, because I was almost to that point where I was like, they don't talk about that in any of the books or the YouTube videos. I've never seen anybody getting bombarded by mosquitoes, but mosquitoes were really bad this year. And it took a toll on all of us.
Yeah, you miserable, and then it lowers down everybody's like emotions and stuff like that. And you're just like, God, let's just get pushed through this. So you can't really enjoy it.
You just want to go to get into your hammock or your tent and just go to sleep, because at least you have a bug net and you're just out of it.
Wow. That's gotta suck, man.
And they would bite you through the hammock. That was awesome. One night, you know, I had my little sleeping pad in there, but one night I like rolled over and my arm was just touching the side of my hammock, and I woke up with a line. It was like a straight line of mosquito bites, because they bit through the fabric of my hammock. I was like, what?
Wow. This sounds like stuff you hear about like in Alaska in the Great Plains and stuff like that, the final frontier, but not in New York State during freaking this. Wow.
Yeah, New York State didn't start until New Jersey, but all through New Jersey, and New York State was the worst. And then, you know, Connecticut, it was pretty bad. And then you get to somewhere in Massachusetts, it just ended. And I was like, yeah, it was great.
So what about Connecticut and Rhode Island? How was that? How was that hike? What was that like?
Connecticut's very brief, but I enjoyed my time in Connecticut. The trails are very well maintained there. You don't go through Rhode Island, but
oh, you don't? Oh, okay, sorry.
Connecticut was cool. Massachusetts, one of my favorite states, just because of the trails and the mosquitoes were gone.
Yeah, I could imagine. Unbelievable.
Oh, I can't forget the Great Deli Blaze. So after I talk to you, you know, I went into New Jersey and New York, and there was the Great Deli Blaze. So pretty much every 15 to 20 miles came across the deli, and definitely going to go get an Italian combo or a wedge and have a great sandwich to bring out on the trail. And of course, eat another one there.
Yeah, so right. Trying to think of that movie where they just take the sub and just put it down in their mouth and just like done, and that's probably what it was like, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Crazy. Awesome. So Massachusetts, you like to maintain trails, really well-maintained trails, I'm guessing?
Oh, it was beautiful. I mean, you just cruise right through there. It's almost a tease for what's to come.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. And then you hit Vermont, and you already explained how horrible that was.
But there was a spot in Vermont. It was a Glastonbury Mountain. And it was cool because I knew about this going into it. Supposedly a haunted mountain.
Oh.
And there was recordings of people getting lost there from like the 1940s and 50s up till today. And there's stories of like a man-eating rock. Like people like go towards this rock and like get sucked in. And there's just a lot of like paranormal experiences on this mountain. It was cool going into it because I kind of knew about it, but I didn't tell anyone. And we had an interesting day, and we climbed the fire tower there, even though they took the bottom steps off of it.
Nice.
We were like, well, we hiked this whole mountain. They took the bottom steps off. Like, we got to go check out the fire tower. So we just kind of climbed up the side. Like the bars on the side. It's kind of dangerous, but in hindsight, glad we did it. And what a beautiful view of Vermont we got from the top. I mean, it was amazing.
Is that the view from that one abandoned like military place or no?
I don't know. Well, I don't know if it was military.
Does it have two like separate buildings on the top?
No, it was just a rusty old fire tower.
Okay. Okay, I thought that's probably not part of the Appalachian Trail. Sorry about that. So what's the stories about that? Like did people get like, did you tell them at the top, or you like, hey, this is haunted?
Well, I mean, the story, I didn't experience anything paranormal from there, but it was just fun to climb that fire tower and just know about it. And it was a bit of a slog through Vermont, just with the mud and all the conditions. The trail conditions were just kind of shit.
But wow.
That was nice. But we got up there and we were like, well, we're not going to not climb this fire tower. Like, we worked ourselves up here. So even though they took off the bottom staircase, we could still climb up there somehow.
It's not that hard to scale that. It's like scaffolding.
But there's one of my friends is a balloon pilot and also used to work for the FAA. And there was a sign at the bottom that said the fire tower was closed due to FAA regulations. And he immediately messaged me. He was like, the FAA has nothing to do with fire towers, especially abandoned ones in Vermont. So somebody just made that sign up.
Wow. I was like,
that was my okay to climb up it. And what a beautiful view.
Where's that in Vermont, like compared to like lower Vermont or central Vermont?
Glastonbury. Hold on, I got my maps out here. I can tell you.
Yeah. Glastonbury.
It's in the Green Mountains. It's about it's south of Killington. It's near Stratton, okay. If you know where Stratton is.
Yep. Excellent. Hey, that's a fantastic spot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see it now. You're right in between Bennington and Killington and stuff like that. Sweet.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely see that.
There's a lot of ghost stories about the Glastonbury area. Glastonbury is an old ghost town, too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Wow.
I see that fire tower on the maps.
The Bennington Triangle, and there's a section in there where people, you know, there's stories of people getting lost and man-eating rock and Bigfoot sightings. It's interesting. I like stories like that.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Some supernatural stuff sounds pretty good. So what was next? New Hampshire, correct?
Yeah, get into New Hampshire. And it's beautiful up there.
How was the weather?
We hit it in the perfect time. I mean, the weather was great. But we slowed down. We slowed down quite a bit.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's very rugged out there.
The New Hampshire trails are phenomenal trails. Don't get me wrong, but they're kind of like the Catskills. They start at the bottom and you finish at the top. It's always like that. Yeah, right? You don't have to travel 3 miles and then hike an elevation gain or 4 miles and stuff. You start at the bottom and you end at the top. No ifs and buts. It's awesome stuff.
Franconia Ridge was amazing.
Yeah. I could imagine that.
One of my favorite sections of New Hampshire, going up there. I tried to hit as many of the peaks as I could.
Knock off some more of the list of the 48ers or 4,000 footers, sorry. It's 48ers, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, the 48ers. I mean, it was beautiful up there. But we slowed down from going 20 to 15 miles a day to maybe 7-8 miles a day.
Wow.
It almost took us 2 weeks to get through the whites just because of the terrain.
Yeah. I mean, your thoughts on compared to the terrain of whites versus the terrain of the Catskills. What are your thoughts? I thought that New Hampshire was a little bit more grippy than the Catskills.
I thought it was harder. Yeah.
Nice.
Whites are more difficult.
Okay. Yeah. I mean the elevation gain definitely does kill you, I gotta admit. And there are some definitely technical parts of New Hampshire that are blow out the Catskills. Tree line is definitely one of the things that you have to be aware of. How was your experience? That, I mean, you had a little bit of experience down in Tennessee above tree line, not too much, but at the New Hampshire, you start to get that crazy experience above tree line where you have to think about everything.
We got so lucky. I mean, we summited Mount Washington. It was 70 degrees and a light breeze in September, which is kind of unheard of.
Wow.
And we chose the right days. We dealt with a lot of rain on our full hike. And when I say we, I mean, you know, my fellow hikers and I.
Yeah.
But we lucked out when we got to the whites. I mean, we had a stretch of great weather, and I couldn't be more fortunate for that, because I could only imagine doing some of those mountains in the rain, and how maybe it wouldn't get slippery, but still, that's an added factor to make things more dangerous. I can't believe I didn't get hurt during this entire hike. Like, I'm counting my blessings. There were so many opportunities to twist an ankle.
Wow. We'll have to talk about gear.
And I know people that did on the hike get hurt.
Wow. Awesome, man. That's crazy that no injuries. Like, I'm guessing you scraped a few things, of course, but that's about it.
I'm sure you've been on hikes where it's lasted longer than you might have wanted. And you might speed up, or you might just be getting sick of it and you're not thinking as clearly.
Yeah.
And do that every day. It's like, wow, I can't believe I didn't hurt myself.
Right. The tail end of the hike, when you're just like, I just want to get, you kind of just have that tunnel vision of getting to where you want to be. And then you're rolling your ankle every 5 seconds or something. You're like, how did I do that? Blah, blah, blah. It's, oh man. Couldn't
That's
even
when you have to sit down, maybe drink a half liter of water, have a snack, and just take a deep breath and remember what you're doing.
So, yeah, definitely. So now after New Hampshire comes the great state of Maine, the final destination. Now, my big question, as I haven't gotten out this, everybody, but I look forward to your post on the 100-mile wilderness. Can you talk to us about the 100-mile wilderness? That's a fascinating area.
Oh, I love the 100-mile wilderness.
So brief this for people who don't know, give a brief little intro about the 100-mile wilderness. There's nothing for 100 miles, correct? What's the whole deal?
Well, I'll get into that, but basically the 100-mile wilderness is a 100-mile stretch of the trail leading up to Baxter State Park, where Mount Katahdin is, the northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail. So you have this 100-mile stretch, and it's probably one of my favorite sections of trail. And you could carry your food through it. Took us about 6 days. We opted out for a food drop, which is an option. You can actually hire a hostel to drop a bucket of food that you prepare. And if you go in with a few hikers, it's only like $20 a piece. So why would you not do that?
Yeah.
And that made it a little bit easier. I was expecting more wilderness, but it didn't seem so wild, as most of that area is owned by logging companies. And oh, wow. So I woke up on multiple times at like 5:30 in the morning to like chainsaw noises and stuff.
Beep, possibly. Beep.
It did not seem wild at all. And I did not seem at, they really stressed, like, you know, you're entering an area very remote. You should have 10 days worth of supplies to get you through here. And on like day two, I saw so many day hikers in like road crossings that it didn't seem very remote at all.
Interesting.
But I'm not talking down at it. It's still a beautiful area, but I think they overstressed the whole thing about it being very remote. I've been in more remote areas early Maine than the actual 100-mile wilderness.
Really? Awesome. Wow. Interesting.
But the entire state of Maine was really beautiful. And I look forward to going back to Maine and exploring more.
Yeah. Your pictures of the last part of Maine, of the 100-mile wilderness, you're like bump over bump of above tree line and stuff. And it's just the ponds, the trees and stuff like that was just, I was just like, oh man, why does he only have 60 pictures here? There should be like at least 240.
Those ponds are, you go by so many lakes and ponds, they are all have sandy beaches. And there's canoes there that you can take. And if you want, you can go out and canoe out into the lake, which is very amazing. Like, they're just there for you to take.
Wow. Unbelievable. That's fascinating experience. So hitting that in the 100-mile wilderness, not that crazy of a challenge, but yeah, I mean, you were probably well beyond prepared for it. You're hitting the last stretch. After the 100-mile wilderness, how many more miles through Backdoor State Park did you have to finish on Katahdin?
So we got out of the 100-mile wilderness, and we were right outside of Backdoor State Park, and it was a 20-mile push to get to Katahdin.
Wow.
And you don't necessarily have to do that. You could actually hike closer to Katahdin and hike up, like make it more like a 5-mile push the next day. But just where we ended up, we were like, well, yeah, let's do the 20-mile day. The first 10 miles is very flat. And then it's just straight up to the mountain. And that was an amazing experience. And I'm glad we opted for that, because we got to meet that awesome forest ranger, Donald Duck, and experience the river as you walk in towards Katahdin. And then it's just a straight kind of rock scramble straight up to the top. And it was really amazing. You hit this flat spot and you can see the sign.
Wow. Now, was that, is Knife Edge the other side of Katahdin, or is that side that you dealt with?
So Knife Edge, we were actually going to go over Knife Edge and finish on the other side of that, but we got up there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we're like, yep, that's not a good idea. But I would love to do Knife Edge. I was looking at little tiny people crossing over it. You could see them from the viewpoint. It was really neat. So I definitely want to hike Mount Katahdin again. And next time I will approach from the Knife Edge. It inspired me to do a different hike.
That sounds fantastic. Was it like going up Katahdin? Of course.
Maybe that's something we can do together.
Please. I need a buddy to go up there, because my wife
is... That would be fun.
Okay.
Come from the other end.
Hell yeah. We'll get a bunch of people to go up and stuff like that. And that's pretty challenging hike. That would be pretty fun. Definitely. So awesome, like, recap of the states. So of the second half, I'm guessing New Hampshire was your favorite. I mean, you had the best time there.
Yeah, New Hampshire was really great. Most challenging, I would say. Maine was also challenging, but New Hampshire was definitely slowed me down a bit. In a good way, though.
Yeah, right.
Went from doing 20 to 15 miles a day to 7, 8, 9, 10, which was fine. But it was still taking the same amount of time.
Yeah. Now, were you like, was that also enjoying the views? Because you got definitely exceptional, phenomenal views up there.
And doing the side trails.
Oh, really? Went on some side trails up there?
Oh, yeah, to go to a viewpoint or to hit an extra high peak that might not have been on the official AT route.
And your trail family was okay with that? Like, were you like, I'm going to go do this real quick?
Some of us were. Some of us did it.
Nice. Well, that's good. How many did you, like, going from, did you have the same trail family almost all the way up or no?
No, but it was cool to meet people that you might not have seen for weeks or months.
Oh, yeah, right?
To catch up with you at the end. That was an interesting experience.
Like, that's like seeing an old friend from high school and stuff. Like, hey, what's going on?
Yep.
Oh, crazy.
And you awesome. Kind of knew who was going to make it or not. It was like, yeah, I knew I was going to see you again.
Yeah. You see those people like, I don't think they're going to make it. Crazy. So, yeah. So where was your favorite part?
Ooh, favorite part. I would say, well, I have a few favorite parts.
Yeah, give them all. Please.
Franconia Ridge, of course.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Zeeland Cliff. Have you been there?
Did I go there on the... It's not on the Pemigosset. I don't think... No, I didn't go on the Zeeland Cliff, so... I don't think I did. So, no, I unfortunately, I haven't been there.
I mean, it was so beautiful out there. I really did enjoy, like, Georgia and North Carolina. I know we've talked about this before on the last podcast, but those still are some of my favorite areas. Just in the spring with the leaves being off the trees and being able to see the views through the mountains, and also just such unfamiliar territory for me.
I could imagine. You said, I remember you recap, you saying that you got to hammock with a view out for sunset and stuff.
Oh, multiple times.
Wow. Awesome. And
you're just allowed to do that out there. There's no restrictions if you're 5,000 feet up.
Wow. Unbelievable. Probably because nobody wants to travel that elevation. That's too stupid to go up there. Like, I don't want to do that distance. Crazy.
There was a Wildcat Mountain in New Hampshire. I walked into a movie scene. That was pretty neat.
Explain.
Well, I saw two hikers just before the summit of Wildcat Mountain. But then they quickly explained to me that they're not real hikers and that I should pass them. And so I walked out to the summit, which is actually the top of a ski resort. And there's like 30 people there in a full film crew. And the two people I saw in the woods were actually actors. And so once I got out, they resumed filming, and they came out from where I did on the trail and were like acting to be surprised at how beautiful of a summit it was. And that was pretty entertaining. And they had drones, and they must have had special permits to have drones up on the high peaks.
Yeah.
But it was a whole film crew. It was pretty neat. We just walked in the middle of it.
Wow. Crazy. That sounds freaking pretty ridiculous. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Must have been like a Nutri-Grain commercial or something.
Something that, yeah, definitely something, Pagnonia or something like that, North Face.
Another memorable experience was going back to Connecticut. We somehow ended up at Lime Rock Racetrack because it was the only place in that had an ATM. And really? We needed to get cash to stay at this Airbnb that we found because it was storming and we were just soaked and miserable. So somebody gave us a hitch to this racetrack, which is Lime Rock Racetrack. And to get to the ATM, we had to cross the racetrack.
Wow.
And as we're crossing the racetrack, people at the pit crew are like waving us over to give us like snacks and bottles of water.
No way.
And finally we got the cash we needed, and we were leaving, and somebody in like a van picked us, like pulled up and was like, "Hey, I can give you a ride wherever you're going, but my back of my van is full of BMW race bikes. So you guys are gonna have to ride on the bikes." So a bunch of hikers, we just all got into the back of the van riding the motorcycles.
No way.
And brought us to where we were going. It was pretty awesome.
What a crazy experience. Chartered away on BMW bikes.
$132,000 BMW sport bikes. He's like, just hop on those. Okay.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable.
Welcome back. We're Inside the Line, the Catskills podcast.
There you go. Boy, I got a new intro now. So, any more favorite spots you want to touch up upon?
Okay, let me see here.
So Mo said that one of his favorite spots, I think it was called the Grayson Highlands. Is that what it's called?
Oh yeah, where the ponies are.
Yeah, why was your experience in that?
I mean, that was amazing. The ponies came up and licked you and were very friendly.
No shit. That would be so, I'd be afraid to get my freaking ass bucked away by them.
Yeah, I was a little worried too, but they were very friendly.
Oh, wow. And you see, this, all these recaps of your favorite spots, you know, everyone in each state makes me want to do it. But then I'm just like, I can't do this shit. Like, no way.
Well, I met this woman in Massachusetts. Her name is Zusha Smusha. It's her trail name. It's Polish for Stubborn Sophie.
Interesting.
She was barefoot. She had a glass water bottle in a Macrae style like holster, a like cotton blanket, and she was just out. She was going southbound. She was out to do the trail.
Wow.
With the bare minerals, she packed all her food in wax paper and tied it.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was very interesting.
So we're going back 200-300 years, right? with this woman.
It was cool. You met a lot of interesting people doing different things on the trail, and it was inspiring. And she was totally, I mean, I had full faith in her. I was like, yep, you got this.
Wow. Unbelievable. You met any, I mean, of course, how many, you know, so my wife and I are looking in June, we're going to go down the Shenandoahs and do trail magic for the thru-hikers. So we did that 2 years ago, I believe it was. And we like went to different trailheads in the Shenandoahs, and we figured out that trail magic, that they love it. And it's a great experience. So you meet so many people. We met, I guarantee it's like over 50, 60 people. It was insane. Now, did you meet any creepy people that you're just like, man, this is a little skeptical right here. I'm going to walk away.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh. I doubt they'll listen to this podcast, right?
Highly doubtful.
Are they going to hunt me down?
No, they don't know your, well, they do know your name.
I mean, won't say specifics, but yeah, definitely met some interesting, creepy people. And some interesting, beautiful people that I can't wait to hang out with again. Like, I met friends for life.
Yeah, of course. That friendship, that bond that you have. Any, like, where was the furthest away besides the Polish lady that you met? Like, anybody that, like, California, stuff like that, Alaska, stuff like that?
Oh, I was hiking for about 50, 60 miles with a British guy in the 60s. Oh, wow. People from all over the world. A lot of people from, like, Norway and Sweden.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And
plenty of people from Germany.
Crazy. That's awesome. The popularity that gets from.
Yeah, there was a lot of international people, and that's actually difficult for them because they are working on a visa. You know, they have a limited time to do certain things.
Oh, wow. Never thought about that. Wow. Good point. So what about your least favorite part?
Ooh, least favorite part? I mean, it's all beautiful. I would say my least favorite experience was the section where I was being attacked by mosquitoes.
Wow.
I don't want to put down that area of trail because it's still beautiful, but being attacked by mosquitoes definitely influences your experience there.
Yeah. It's like probably like black fly season here, where
it's a mental thing you have to get past.
I couldn't even imagine that, man. Just, I mean, I've read books of, you know, Alaska of mosquito season, where it just basically looks like screens in front of you because of how crazy it is. And just,
oh yeah, you hear them buzzing outside of your tent or your hammock, and they're just all night.
Yeah,
man. You're afraid to get up and go pee in the middle of the night because you're going to let a few in, and then you have to kill them.
And then there's something else lurking out there that you don't want them to bite.
I'm sure.
Oh man, yeah, I could just not imagine just slapping every 5 seconds, just like, god damn.
That's what it was going through New York and New Jersey. It was just slapping your extremities, even with bug spray on.
Was there any like resource of saying why it was like that? Just I'm guessing
it was
the rain.
A very wet year, so it was a bad year for mosquitoes.
Crazy, that sucks, man. I'm sorry about that.
Who saved us a lot was Denise Weiss.
Oh, really?
She met us in right before Harriman State Park and brought us bug spray.
Aw.
And she saved my ass, and I'm so thankful for her. And she brought us sandwiches and sodas and stuff too. So shout out to her. She brought us some trail magic, and she's an awesome woman.
Awesome. Denise and Vicky, man, they're killing it.
Yeah, they saved me through New York. They definitely lifted my spirits.
Good. Yeah. And I'm sorry I couldn't meet you on that. That was just like there were times when you were just like, oh, I'm here, and I'm just like, I'm at work already.
It's hard. It's hard to meet up with people on the trail because you don't know where you're going to be the next day.
Correct. You might kill some miles one day, and then you might just take a zero day the next day. So,
exactly. But
once again, so how about any close calls? I mean, I remember you saying that you didn't have much on there, but anything you were particularly like, oh shit.
Oh, I would twist my ankle like 2 or 3 times a day. That was fun.
That was fun. Those times where you just
like, I didn't break it, but I like there were some times where I was like twist my ankle. I'm like, oh crap, if I gonna be able to like keep walking. Luckily I did, but I had some friends that broke their knees and broke their ankles, broken bones, took a fall. I mean, it could happen in an instance, and I'm very fortunate that I didn't have any major injuries or anything, but when you're walking that far and you get comfortable, sometimes when you're tired or whatnot, you might not be thinking as clearly, and that's when you get an injury.
Yeah.
And I caught myself. I had a few close calls. I was like, holy crap, that could have been a lot worse.
Were you around anybody with injuries like that happened on the trail, or like kind of like run into anybody where they had an injury on the trail?
I didn't run into anybody, but I had some friends that were like maybe a day or two behind me and just stopped hearing from them. I was like, what happened to you, man?
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, I broke my knee. They were like, holy crap.
Whoa. Awesome on you to touch up with them and be like, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. That's awesome. That's
luckily I didn't encounter any on the trail, but you know, it's a great community out there, so we would help each other out if that did happen, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt safe with the people I was around, especially in the difficult areas. We worked together and made sure everyone got through safely.
Awesome. Awesome. That's how it is. Camaraderie and, you know, the brotherhood of the Appalachian Trail. Like I said,
yeah, I'll remember those people forever.
Exactly. And you know,
they're friends of mine.
Just being on the Shenandoah part and meeting the through hikers was a life changing experience for me, just to see people like you coming through and like, oh, hey, how you doing? Do you guys want a snack or something? And the light up on their face was just like, yeah. Oh my God, this is magical. That's why, you know, I never want to do the Appalachian Trail, because I know I can't do it because I'm getting old. My knees are crusty. I can't take on the nights.
That's a poor excuse, and I don't want to hear that. I will challenge you there.
I don't have the time, man.
I met 70-year-olds and 5-year-olds hiking the trail. So,
okay. I will maybe
do it. It has to do with your dedication. Do you want to do this?
That's true.
And if you do, awesome, you probably can, but if you don't, then don't do it. But it honestly has to do with dedication and if you want to do it.
That's true.
But you're a badass. I know you, so I think you could do it if you wanted to. I think anybody could.
I'll bushwhack the AT. That'll be my goal.
Now we're talking.
So that's awesome. So what is your crazy, being with the AT the past 6 months, what's your crazy experience?
Well, craziest experience.
That's a tough one.
I think we kind of went over that.
Is the mosquitoes?
Well, and also just being on the racetrack and meeting the naked southbounder.
Wait, what about your
I was never in a dangerous spot.
Okay. I mean, that's good. What about your naked experience on Hike Naked Day?
We talked about that too. I don't know, maybe we could cut off this part of the
Well,
I'm looking at our notes. I'm just trying to follow what we got. Because we talked about the naked hiking day.
We did. You were in Tennessee, right?
That was in the Shenandoah.
Shenandoah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Crazy. You are crazy. So what is, 2,000 miles, what is your favorite view? I mean, I remember you saying, Lafayette was kind of,
Definitely Mount Katahdin was one of my favorite views too. Being able to see that. A lot of great views. Mount Greylock in Massachusetts was very interesting.
Oh, nice.
And there's like a hotel up there and like a giant tower with an obelisk.
Wow.
That lights up at night.
So kind of gets you hope.
There's a bunch of people trying to self camp to watch like a meteor shower that night. And
really?
Then at like 9 o'clock, the obelisk turned on and just saturated the sky with light. It was like, oh shit.
Wow. Interesting. Greylock. Nice.
Yeah, Mount Greylock's beautiful. And you can see that from the Catskills.
Oh, yep. Yeah, you can, because it's the highest point in Massachusetts, correct?
Yep, and it has that very distinct obelisk on top that lights up.
Interesting. I'll have to go up there in the night and see if we can see that.
You can see that from Windham at night. Very clearly. You can see that lit up.
Interesting. New adventure right there.
On night hike all the high peaks in the Catskills, that would be fun.
Yeah, I heard like Greg and Mo are going to do that, or are starting somewhat doing that. So
I think they're working on it.
That'll be a very, very challenging experience. Maybe run into some mountain lions.
They're out there.
Do you think you kind of almost ran into one? I mean,
there's bobcats. There's plenty of bobcats
down in Tennessee. You had in Georgia. You had the chance. There's
what if bobcats mate with mountain lions?
So it's a bob lion. Interesting. That'll be a different breed. Yeah. Weird ears, but long tail.
Yep.
Interesting.
You'll be getting a lot of pictures of those soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So awesome. So any, you've kind of give a couple shout outs. I mean, anybody listening to this show or anybody that's going to listen to the show that you want to give some shout outs to?
Actually, can I give a bunch of shout outs?
You can give as many as you want, Dylan.
I want to give a shout out to my longtime hiking partner, Lucky, and Lucky's mom, who took me out, and a bunch of hikers in. And she cooked for us. She brought me home. Some through hikers, Boythus, CBS, Pony, White Rabbit, Fruit Snacks, Bookworm, Double Time, and his dog, Patty. Splash, Titus, Longbeard, Crane, and Frog. I hope you guys listen to this.
I hope so, too. Wow.
And I hope I can stay friends with all of them, because they are amazing people.
God, these interesting names on the Appalachian Trail. I just love it. And your name was Creamsicle, of course, right?
Dreamsicle.
Dreamsicle. Wow. You should probably just name... If somebody ever does the trail, the Appalachian Trail, they need to write down all the names of the people that they meet so they can get a list of the crazy names.
That's what I did.
I remember
all these crazy people.
Yeah, I could imagine Longbeard stuff.
Oh, Thriller. I don't think I said Thriller, but yeah, shout out to you, Thriller.
Great. I'm hoping that has to do with something with Michael Jackson.
Definitely.
Oh, cool.
He can moonwalk like nobody else.
Oh God. Entertainment must have been fantastic on the trail.
You were never bored, that's for sure. And that's why it went by so fast.
Oh man.
I highly recommend anyone try this or do a section of it or just become involved in the community in some way, because you won't be disappointed. I would do it again.
Crazy. Nice, nice. Well, you have so much. You have the PCT, the CDT, the John Muir Trail. You have so much others to do too as well.
I don't think it would be the same though.
I've heard the differences between those, like the just the way the AT is and the
there's something about the specific community that it's without even doing the CDT or the PCT that I know is different.
Yeah. I've heard that as well.
It's more of a community trail and being able to walk through these different towns down south and even up north and seeing the communities. It's really neat.
It's all like interconnected. Yeah, everybody's connected in that trail for some reason. I don't know. It's the love.
And now I have a lifetime of places to go hike and explore further.
Correct. Awesome. Well, Dylan, thank you for joining me on the show once again. I really appreciate it. I don't know why I'm coughing, but I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed your time on the AT.
It was great, and I'm glad I'm on camera now too. I know last time the camera wasn't working, so
that's okay. I was still interested as heck. just like you, I'm sitting there. You probably saw me, but I didn't see you.
Oh, I did see you for sure.
Cool. Yeah, thank you for joining me on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm just glad you kicked ass at this, and listening to your videos, watching your stories, following you and stuff was absolutely phenomenal. It made me feel like I was on the trail. And I will tag your Instagram on here and your Facebook. I think you were more active on Facebook, weren't you?
Correct. Yep.
Correct.
My Instagram is more art based, but yep. Maybe I should make an Instagram for hiking, something I'll think about doing.
Dreamsicle.
Yep.
Dreamsicle AT. There you go. Got it. Nailed it. But I will tag your Facebook and everybody can check out your photos, your pictures, videos, just absolute amazing stuff. And thank you once again for joining me. I don't know how many times I can say that. Twice.
Oh man, it's so cool to be on here with you, man. I'm glad that we could do a part two. So thank you for having me.
Hey, anytime, come back on.
And we're going to hike together, right?
We will do some crazy shit together.
Let's do it. You know I'm always down, so
okay.
I'm just a text away or a phone call or whatever you want to do. You can mail me a letter. I don't care. But let's go hike the mountain.
Awesome. Definitely we'll be in that. So also, Dylan, I know you talked about this a little bit before. Do you have any post-hike brews and bites? It doesn't have to be in the Catskills. It would be on your Appalachian Trail adventure.
Oh, wow. I mean, I ate at some amazing places, but can I give a special shout-out to the Smoky Mountain Diner?
Nice. What do you want to say about that?
I would to say it was one of the best diners I've experienced on trail.
Nice.
That's in Hot Springs, North Carolina.
Excellent. Hot Springs.
So if I can give them a shout out, I ate there twice on my trip, and it was one of the best breakfasts I've ever had. They had like a hiker bowl, which was full of potatoes and like sausage and onions and peppers and melted cheese. And it was everything I needed to refuel. And nice. I will always remember my meal there. So.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome. A great Smoky Mountain Diner. And then locally, I will say what I said last time is the Roscoe Diner. Yes. I like that, I guess, apparently.
I guess Diners so.
Good hiking fuel.
I agree.
All those full starches of and proteins. Let's go.
Carbohydrates, stuff like that.
Got a bottle of hot sauce. We're in for a show. Let's do it.
Awesome. Awesome. So excellent. Thank you to the monthly supporters and the monthly sponsors. Really greatly appreciate you guys believing in me. Thank you to everybody who is listening. I really appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who's donated the show. Really appreciate you guys. You know, 96 episodes in, once again, getting close to 100. I got to think if I'm going to do a special occasion for 100, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I could do that or could pull off.
Firework display.
That's a little expensive. I'll have to get some from Pennsylvania or something like that and do my own.
Cross the borders.
So, Dylan, thank you for joining me. Hope you have a good night, and I'll see you soon. Definitely, we'll do a hike soon.
Thanks, brother. Reach out to me anytime. I'm always available to hike with you, man. Looking forward to it.
We'll do something crazy together. Have a good night, man.
Yeah, you too.
Hey guys, I just want to thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe and throw down a smooth review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast platform that you use. You can also check daily updates of the podcast, hikes, hiking memes, and local news on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the official website of the show. Remember this, you just keep on living, man. LIVIN.
Wicked, 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 wicked.